Oh, I get to introduce our speaker tonight. I have to say that I knew about Matt before I ever met him. And over the course of the years, and I think it's been almost eight, I've been a fly on the wall. That it'll be explained, you might get a fly on the wall in his recovery. And it is such a joyous place for me to be and to hear about. What he does, I feel, is remarkable. His enthusiasm for recovery and his diligence at making sure that he's doing the next right thing for a young man is truly something remarkable for me. I'm an old lady, so I can't wait to hear him. I was lucky enough at one point to visit the Heroin Anonymous group at the Triangle Club, and I heard him speak then. And I'm proud and excited to have him come tonight. Thank you.
I'm Matt. I'm an alcoholic. It's a pleasure to be here with y'all tonight. I'm grateful. It's many things to be here with y'all tonight. It's an honor, privilege, full of gratitude. But it wouldn't be possible if it weren't for God. Spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about God and my relationship with God and how that came to be, because when I was in treatment or new, I didn't want to hear that. Not this last time, but all the other many, many times that I've been to treatment, my mind snapped shut against the thought of a higher power, because ultimately I thought I could figure it out on my own. I could figure out how to rest, satisfaction, and happiness out of this life just by managing well. And I thought I was smarter than everyone else, even though the evidence didn't reflect that. And I thought I was God. I was playing God, basically. I wouldn't admit that in the speaking, but that's what my actions showed. And that's really the root of my troubles. But anyway, I guess I'll start. I don't know. I'd like to qualify myself as far as my sobriety date, August 14th, 2015. I have a home group. It's Out of Hell. It's a Heroin Anonymous meeting at Triangle Club, Monday nights at 7 p.m. Y'all come through if you like. It's a good meeting. I have a sponsor, but I need a new one, so I'm in the market for a new sponsor. I have sponsees, I introduced myself as an alcoholic because I have the disease of alcoholism. That wasn't really my bag, like more of a heroin addict if I had my choice, but in the book, in this blue book right here, I don't know if y'all ever cracked this open, but it describes the alcoholic as having a spiritual sickness, right? Coupled with the allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. You put all those things together, it's alcoholism. And it also says that there's a solution for that. You got your three-part problem, and then you got your three-part solution, which is unity, service, recovery. I don't know if y'all ever see it. It's on the triangle, like unity, service, recovery, and then they got the circle around it. But it's worked for me. I honestly didn't think anything could work for me. I thought I was going to have to put something in my body every day just to make it through and just to deal with the world at large and just to feel, just to be okay. But that's not the case today. It's all because of these 12 steps and getting a relationship with a higher power that's personal to me. I'm looking for the other mic. I don't see it. That's some good mic job. So, but yes, real alcoholic. It also talks in the book about how if you are unclear if you're an alcoholic or not, the first three chapters kind of try to clear that up for you, but the best thing is your experience, like looking back, being honest with yourself. It talks about once you start, you can't stop, and then whether you want to or not, like you drink, you know, you get high, like, and that was definitely my experience. I could have, you know, I could want to quit. I've wanted to quit forever. I've wanted to moderate. I've wanted to switch substances. I've wanted to stop for just a period of time. I've wanted to mix a couple together, hoping that I could do it successfully and not end up in jail at least once a year, and, you know, homeless and what do you call it when they run you out of town on a pole? Not ostracized, exiled, or feeling exiled at least. I probably exiled myself, but yeah, it talks a lot about this and more about alcoholism, all the different things that they've tried to quit. And then sometimes I'd say, well, that was like, and then, you know, I went through all those things, and I eventually landed at this point of, like, it's just not in the cards for a guy like me. Like, I'm just going to get high every day till I die, and I'm just going to do my best at that, right? Like, if I practice long enough, I will be able to get high successfully, and I'll just, you know, try to get a little happiness and a little peace in there, and I could never make it happen. So eventually I wound up at this point where it was like, I don't know anything, right? Like, I know I'm gonna get high again. Like, I don't want to get high again, but I know for a fact that I will do it again. And that was like the best place for me, honestly. That's kind of like my step one experience. So, you know, I had been to, okay, let me back up. I do want to talk about selfishness and self-centeredness. You know, it says in this book somewhere, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our problems, driven by 100 forms of fear, you know, self-pity. And then it says, I must be rid of this selfishness or it kills me. And then it goes on to say, I can't get rid of this selfishness on my own. I have to have help from God. So that step one experience I was talking about, I mean, I'd heard those words over and over. I've been forced to go to meetings or, you know, to be in compliance with whatever halfway house I was at or whatever the case may be, whatever treatment center I was in. But after having that step one experience, like, I'm going to get high again. Like, I don't want to, but I'm going to get high again. So after kind of hitting that bottom, if you will, I started to hear what they had to say. I was in detox, and the people who brought the AA meeting into detox, I finally heard what they were saying. And one of them suggested for me to pray on my knees once a day, ask for the obsession to get high to be removed, and for a change in perception. And the fact that I was willing to do, to get, you know, I got 3-4 roommates, you know, grown men, like, I'm so worried about what other people think about me, right? Even though, once again, in the speaking, I'll be like, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm not scared of anything, blah, blah, blah. But that ran my life, basically. What other people think about me, how I'm viewed by others. So when I actually took the suggestion, got on my knees in front of my roommates and asked whatever it was out there to remove the obsession to get high and give me a change of perception, it worked. And like I said before, I tried everything before, and none of that stuff worked, but this worked, right? So it was pretty heavy. Like, I was just going on about my business. I was doing it once, or, you know, twice a day, on my knees. And I was just going on about my day. And I guess it was like day three or four. I was like, it occurred to me that I hadn't thought about, you know, I didn't have a scheme. I didn't have a plan B. Like, usually when I'm in detox or treatment, I'm thinking, you know, what dope man I can get a front from, you know, who have I not ruined my credit with, what I could say to mom so she'll let me back in the house, you know, what CVS is close by so I can go steal some stuff and get some money or whatever. But none of that stuff was going through my head. And yeah, I was blown away, and I was very happy. I had never been free from the obsession since I was like, I don't know, 11 or 12 or something. But so the selfishness that I was unaware of, the fact that I was always seeking like acceptance, you know, like I've mentioned before, worried way too much about what people think about me and not even knowing that I did that. I was seeking like acceptance and attention. Even as a young man, I was, you know, getting kicked out of, you know, whatever, expelled from school, going to YDC and boot camp and all this stuff. But I quote that passage about selfishness is the root of my problems, because alcohol, heroin, drugs, none of that stuff is my problem, right? But it took me a long time to actually like consider that, is it not? Because I really thought that like drugs were my problem. If I could just whatever moderate or control it, it would be fine. But so after that suggestion to pray on my knees worked, I was way more open to suggestions, and the people at the detox said, hey, why don't you go to long-term treatment? I was like, sure thing. And that was never my MO before, but I went to this place. It's like a six-month program in Midtown, and I took all the suggestions that they had for me. So it became clear to me that I was a terrible manager of my own life. Like, with or without drugs, me doing my best, I can't manage my own life. My selfishness and self-centeredness just drives it into the ground every time. So I give my life over to the treatment center, and they tell me to do these simple things, you know, follow the rules of said treatment center, go to outside meetings, you know, try to be of service to your fellow man wherever you can, stuff like this. Do your homework or your whatever assignment you may have. And so I do these things, and my life just keeps getting better, right? It's crazy. I actually learn how to just be like a member of a society. Like, I still had a lot of survival, you know, techniques going on while in treatment, like hot, like stashing food and like whatever weird shit that, you know, only like homeless people do or whatever. But but I was called out on these things, and they were there for me, and other people were experiencing this too, and it was a great like learning, growing experience. But one of the main things that they said was go to outside meetings, not just the ones that are offered on campus, you know, get a sponsor, work the 12 steps. So I was going to meetings for a while. I went to Triangle Club a lot. Also went to some Heroin Anonymous meetings. And I eventually picked out a guy, asked him to be my sponsor. And we met once a week for about an hour, hour and a half. I mean, if I completed my previous assignment, it was once a week. Really, the ball was in my court. Going through the steps, I was just as honest and thorough as I could possibly be at that point in time. And it really wasn't much, guys. Like, it wasn't really hard or whatever. The hardest part was, like, prioritizing my time. Because for the longest, if it didn't have to do with me, like, feeling better, it wasn't a priority to me, and it showed, honestly. But so I prioritized my time. I met with my sponsor. I completed the whatever assignment he gives me, and while working the steps, I continued to pray. So ever since the guy suggested it to me in detox, I've prayed on my knees every day since, right? Like, I wouldn't, it's just a working part of my mind, and like, I wouldn't do without it. I started praying before I eat, and like, any time that I can take 10 seconds, 20 seconds to like affect a contact with whatever it is that's out there that's keeping me sober on a daily basis and giving me some freedom and happiness, I think it's cool. Working the steps. Each step I was on, my sponsor told me to like look for, you know, maybe there was a prayer involved, like third step prayer or something, or whatever assignment I had to write out. He would tell me to look for examples of that in my everyday life. And when I was looking, like, I saw it. I saw like how this stuff was working in my life. But I had to look for it, you know, I had to seek it, you know, and so I worked the 12 steps, step 4 and 5, they were all big for me, you know. I can sit here and say that 4 and 5 were big, but every one of them, they're to be experienced. You can read this like a novel. I don't think you'll get the desired effect. Like, you know, I've been in jail, and there's limited reading material, so I pick this up and I flip a couple pages, and but this is to be experienced. It's kind of a we program, you know, like I can't do it on my own. I've had sponsees, or I've just had friends and just people in general just be like, you know, I'm gonna sponsor myself, like. That is the best, like, they think that idea is just, like, A1, you know, and I've been there. Like, I'm not judging them. Like, my best thinking, like I said before, with or without drugs, lands me in jail at least once a year and miserable. So, let's see. Time goes on. My life keeps getting better. I keep doing the things that this book suggests. I get a home group, that one at that Heroin Anonymous meeting at Triangle, and I show up every week no matter what, and I sit through the group conscience, and I, you know, volunteer myself for a service position, and it's so rewarding, like you wouldn't think it would be. I mean, sitting in group conscious, I'm like, can we go, like, ready to get some food or whatever, thinking about me and what I got to get to make me feel better. And then someone nominates me for a service position. I take it. I dread it all the way up until the time comes. It happens, and I'm like, I just feel so, like, fulfilled, and, like, I have purpose, and, like, so that happens a lot for me with this program. Like, I've kind of become, I just say yes a lot now. I mean, become a yes man, and like, I just say yes, like, no matter what. And when it comes to service work, and it's it's helped me, and it's like, it's changed me, honestly. So, yeah, you know, they say to talk about what I was like, what happened, what I'm like now. And honestly, I can say, oh, and also in this book somewhere it talks about, you know, the reason people tell their stories and share their experience, you know, the way that, you know, sharing your experience and strength and hope is kind of like how you affected a relationship or contact with your higher power. And I think I've covered those things, but so today, what it's like today, like, well, I guess I'll talk about step 12 real quick, because the sponsorship has been huge for me. I never thought that I could be of service to anyone. Oh man, I'm super early too. I guess I'll just ramble up here for a while, but I never thought I could be of service to anyone, like of real use to anyone, but sponsorship has changed that for me. Once again, I just say yes, and like these guys that I sponsor, they're just me. You know what I'm saying? Like anybody that I talk to in this program, they're telling my story, right? And then I can just go outside this program and just really, it's led me to see that every human being, like, is just me. Like, we're all like so much more alike than we are different. But keeping it on the smaller level, when I sponsor guys, like, and I get pissed at them, it's stuff that I used to do, or that I still currently do, or whatever. And just seeing them go through the things that I went through, whether it be positive or negative, however they're looking at it, or however I'm looking at it, it's just a blessing to be a witness of. Like Janet was saying, like being a fly on the wall, someone I've never met, but I can see like God performing miracles because I'm looking for it, you know? And like, you know, I've worked the steps and got all the shit out of the way that was blocking me from my higher power. And like, therefore I can see, you know? They talk about standing in the sunlight of the Spirit. And honestly, like, that's how I feel today. And if y'all don't take anything else away from this, just know that you can get it too. Like, I don't have a great life today. I'm not free today because of, like, the fact, it's not because I'm smart or super talented or anything like this. It's because I just surrendered without conditions, you know, like, I said, I have no idea. Do with me what you will. You know, you want me to go to detox for 60 days? I don't care, sure. You want me to go to treatment for a year and a half? Sure. What else do I got going on, right? Because anything I try, I fail. And so yeah, let's see here, what I'm like today. So I'm not seeking attention and acceptance anymore, right? Like, my relationship with God has made, like, acceptance and attention and love and community and unity, it's just a byproduct of me seeking God, right? Staying sober every day is just a byproduct of me seeking my higher power and taking the suggestions in this book. You know, like I said before, I can be of use to others. The ninth step promises that someone read, all that is true for me today. Yeah, so my mom. Let's get into that can of worms here, shall we? So Nah, so my mom is one of us, as you may know, Ellen. I don't know if y'all know her, but she's great. But my mom's alcoholic. Growing up with that, you know, I was the little kid running around the AA meetings and stuff, being a distraction and stuff, but we've seen each other at our worst, and we have been in the nasty bits of it together, and now we get to experience life every day, like, in the best of it. August 14th, my sobriety date is my dad's birthday. He passed away when I was 12 from lung cancer, or maybe 13 from lung cancer, and I didn't plan that, right? So like, just another God shot, just another like tiny miracle that it's undeniable for me, you know, like the miracles I see on a daily basis and the miracles in my life. I tried to make these miracles happen, right, for years and years and years, and I couldn't make one miracle. Well, maybe one or two, you know. But I'm talking overloads of miracles. And they're like complex, you know what I'm saying? Like, one cool thing about recovery for me is, like, every time I think I know something, like, I'm proven wrong. And it's refreshing, honestly, because I think, you know, I'll get like stuck in my ways, or I think that I'll know what I'm doing, and someone will present it to me in a different way. I'll be reading this stuff that I've read 1,000 times, and it'll hit me different. And it just shows me like, hey, you're not doing it right whatsoever. You might want to switch it up. And that's one of the things that I've gotten from this program. But so yes, I get to have healthy like relationships in the present moment, not just with my family, but with everybody. I don't have to be constantly distracted. It's a beautiful thing. So yeah, like I said, anybody can get this thing. You just got to surrender without condition, and then be willing to work for it. Like, be willing to do stuff that you don't want to do. That's one thing that I've seen, that I've observed about myself. Like, if I don't want to do it, that's all the more reason to do it. And then when I get on the other side, I'm just like, damn, I'm so glad I did that. But I'm trying to think of anything else I want to say. I could talk about this forever, y'all, like. But no, I'm going to end early, but yeah. Okay, how about a quote? I can't remember. I think it's George Washington Carver. Yeah, I was thinking about the Abe Lincoln one, but George Washington Carver said, it is simply service that measures success. So like, if you just be of service to others and stay out of your way and like try to get rid of your selfishness, you will be succeeded. I love you all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you again, Matt, for sharing with us this evening.